Sunday, March 10th, was a day of deep gloom, lightened by the presence of the Krim. That is to say, it was purveyed in the newspapers, in the TV, it weighted the air around me, and I felt it in my very bones. But it was not apparent in Lyndon. His voice was hearty, he had funny stories, he stopped to talk with us, and his work on the phone and in reading reports ground on and on. I never took off my hat to him more. I felt more tender. We were awake rather early and waded through pounds of newsprint, and Arthur came down and talked with us. And then I said, let's go to Dr. Davis's to church. And then when I returned to the room dressed, and about a quarter of 11, there was Lyndon still on the phone. But he can break an Olympic record for getting dressed. So he did, and we were out the door in about 8 minutes and walked into church just in front of the choir. Dr. Davis was preaching on what I thought was comfortably safe, the old-time religion. Even so, he had to take a slight blast at some current event, and I braced myself. Secretary Russ came by right after church. Tomorrow he goes up on the hill to testify before TV. I admire him with all my heart. He is a great bulwark of strength, but even he looked weary. And afterward, Lyndon told me something very touching that he had said. Your courage keeps me going. These days are an exercise of sheer spirit. I went up to the solarium and Liz came by, straight from one of the gridiron functions. How I look forward to the time when I return to this town, and if I get invited, return to all those gridiron functions. And she and I and Matilda worked on a possible list for the Women Doers Luncheon on child health, what this administration has aimed at, in part achieved, in better health for children through Head Start and its work on mentally retarded. Our guests will be divided between professionals, doctors and administrators, volunteers, wives from the Hill, our cabinet, our governor's wives, who have worked actively on child health. Muriel will be one of the speakers. It was well after 2 when Lyndon phoned up to say he was hungry. We'd made some good progress on the list, so Matilda and I joined him and Arthur, and we had a delicious lunch of crab meat, crepes, and salad, hardly calculated to be reducing. But he's been so good so long, and I really wish he'd break over. Afterward, Lyndon said, let's walk around the south grounds. He took a golf club and hit some balls over toward Eisenhower's Green, and we walked around in the beautiful sunshine. There are a few crocus, and the buds are beginning to swell, and in the west garden, one of the magnolia phalangianas, the one that leans against the house in the corner close to the swimming pool, has a single pink bud opening. Then we went over to the bowling lanes, and Lyndon left after the first game to try to get a nap. The Krim said goodbye, but not until we had planned to meet again on Friday to go to Texas for Linda's birthday and a goodbye to Chuck before he leaves for Camp Pendleton. They are often balm and solace to Lyndon, and I am grateful to them for being understanding and warm and gay, for fitting into his life so well. I stayed and played another game and overwhelmed myself by making 188 score, the best I've ever made. And then, about 5 o'clock, I went back upstairs and did enough work at my desk and recording to satisfy my Calvinist conscience and leave me free for the rest of the day. And Lyndon sent word for me to come in. No, he hadn't really slept. He'd read and talked on the phone. Earlier, I had asked him at lunch, suppose someone else were elected president, what could Mr. X do that you could not do? He said, he could unite the country and start getting some things done. It would last about 1 year, maybe 2 years. I think that is what is heaviest on his mind. Can he unite the country, or is there simply too much built-up antagonism, division, a general malaise, which may have him irrevocably as its focal point? The headlines had said that McCarthy was showing a surge, at least the Washington Post had. In fact, they had practically 2 full pages devoted to him. And in the Star, Romney urges Rockefeller to enter a race in Oregon. I think it might well be that we will just go along and not announce until time for the convention, in the manner of Roosevelt in 40 and again in 44. Mm-hmm. And then the convention and later the people can just make up their minds. Lyndon called Hubert. He was at a gridiron affair. It came over afterwards. We had a drink and then dinner. Sam Houston joined us. And it was an easy, comfortable evening. There is still laughter in Hubert. But Muriel said that even this most sturdy and philosophical man has been weary and shaken the last few days, and I thought there was hurt in his voice when he described some of the actions of certain senators on the Hill. He said, it's bad, and it's going to keep on being bad through the primaries. I think we might as well brace ourselves for more of the same until the middle of June. Those styes are coming back on Lyndon's eyes, first one and then the other, red and swollen and painful, but finally sometimes a stye, and then maybe it just goes down. I thought, Riley, that it sounded more and more like Job. Nevertheless, he's remaining calm and even-tempered, rather serenely philosophic about it. Mm-hmm. That is, all the politics, but about the war itself, mm-hmm. he is deeply worried. So ended this melancholy day, about 11, with a rub, and a complete perusal of Time magazine. No balm under the circumstances.